When Kieran Perkins came back to the sporting world 20 years after he retired, the Olympic champion made a disappointing discovery. It looked the same as it did in 2000. That's to say, it was very white and very male. In a broad-ranging speech, the former swimming champ, who's now the head of the Australian Sports Commission, has outlined his vision for our country's sporting future. One where our athletes come from all parts of the Australian community. The CEO of the Australian Sports Commission is Kieran Perkins, and he joins me this morning. Kieran, lovely to speak to you again.
Morning, Patricia. Thank you.
Organisations around the country are grappling with how to diversify. What are the particular challenges when it comes to sport?
Look, it's like a lot of areas of life. You know, we have such ingrained behaviours and biases around the way that we recruit, the types of people that we look for to go into roles. And so often many of our sporting organisations are volunteer-based or tenure-based. And so you have just this momentum and weight of, we've always done it this way. This is what we need. This is what we're looking for. And because of the role of that, it gets harder and harder to, break through and change the norms. I think also that so many of the sports that Australians deeply love aren't necessarily exactly the same sports that, new communities into Australia automatically connect to. And while there's been a lot of great work done to improve that engagement, the reality is we've got a long way to go to make our sporting environments feel safe, feel welcoming, and have all parts of the community actually pursue an opportunity, as opposed to, the current state where sport has to work very hard to bring people in.
Yesterday you ran through some statistics, and they are really interesting for our listeners. 53% of the athletes on our Commonwealth Games team were women, but fewer than 10% of high-performance coaches were women. 13% of the Australian team in Birmingham were born overseas, compared to 29% of our population. So it's an obvious disparity. And you've said that you believe part of the solution involves disrupting what community sport looks like. What do you mean by that?
Look, it's probably a similar sort of cost. So much of community sport, I guess, in Australia, because we're passionate about sport, we want to be successful. It's very competition pathway based. So kids go, they have a little bit of fun when they first start off. Often the junior programs are good, but once they get into, the high school years, it all gets very, very serious and very, very focused. And research shows us that while for some athletes that's a good positive environment that engages them, for many people, it's not until their late teens or early 20s that they might find their passion or their particular capability. And if in the previous 5 years they've had a terrible experience, they've decided that they're not good enough or they don't have a future in the sport and they don't want to be involved, they finish off and they're not particularly good advocates of sport. So we lose that momentum for a workforce, for new people coming in, volunteers wanting to be involved, parents becoming parents of future children who are physically active as well. And then there's also the very structured nature of a lot of our organised sports. You know, you have to turn up at this time, this many days a week, in this uniform, and pay this much money. And it's very rules-based, it's very structured. And as a consequence, as we see in a lot of parts of society today, people are looking for more flexibility. They're looking for ways to do things on their own terms. And really that focus on having fun, building skills and being part of a community needs to be the first core element of why people go to sport. Unfortunately, I just don't think currently the way that we structure, we fund, we support and build capability is landing that message, and we need to continue to evolve to provide people more opportunities so that they want to be in sport.
Just briefly, if you don't see change in the next few years, would you consider tying funding to diversity?
Look, I think there's definitely a lot of work that we already do to improve governance. We've launched coaching capability programs, which are focused on how you coach in the community and for, current generations to help engage them and build expectation. There is absolutely no doubt that's an important trigger as well, though. And while we're all always a little reticent to go towards quotas, the reality is that there's simple things that we can do along the way, like making sure that selection panels are gender neutral, so that you've got a high probability of a female candidate going through if that's the case. Building programs to engage different parts of community, but we certainly tie funding to ensuring that sport's improving.
Just finally, turning to the AFL, there's this fierce debate over the resignation of the Essendon CEO, Andrew Thorburn, a day after his appointment, after it was revealed he was the chair of a church group with controversial views on abortion and homosexuality. Some are saying this shows that Christians can't be leaders in organisations and that they're being discriminated against. What's your view?
Oh, look, I think both sides of this current argument in the media need to step back a little bit and be a bit pragmatic and balanced. You know, the reality is that we keep having every dialogue and every argument in this country as a complete extreme black or white. You're either this or you're either that. There's nothing else in between. And the reality is human beings are complex. There's a whole lot more nuance and other things that come into the way that somebody might operate or the organisations they're involved in or the beliefs that they have. And just running hard to these definitive views based on small pieces of information, I don't think is particularly helpful. If we want diversity and inclusion in all parts of society, that actually does include all parts of society. And if we can't cohabitate, if we can't work together and understand each other, we're not winning any arguments. All we're doing is seeding more division, more arguments, and robbing ourselves of the opportunity to be a rich society, which frustrates me a little bit.
Kieran, thank you for joining us.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.